so today's daf Chav Ches. We're on Chav Zayin with Beis by the bottom, which said Hayotzim in a Eitz Einem Metame Tumas Ohalim El Pishtan, which was the idea that any type of material that comes from a tree does not become tummy as an OL except for flax. What it meant was, as Rashi pointed out, is that as Rashi's go back to Rashi in the Mishnah, it says Im Asa Mehen OL. If you use this material to make an OL. And if you use this material to make an OL, and then there's a mace in the OL, this material, the actual tent itself, does not become tamei OL. Same thing like if you're in a house, if you make the house is made out of wood, because it came out of the eights, then the wood itself does not become tamei OL, except for pishtan. So Gemara says, minolan. How do we know that pishtan is the exception to this rule, that if you make the tent out of pishtan, then that pishtan itself would become tamei mace? So minolan, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar of Elazar said, gamar, Ohel mi Mishkan. They learn it out from the Gzeira Shava of the words Ohel from the Mishkan. It says by Tumas Ohel, it says, Zos Torasa Adam ki Yomus ba Ohel. This is the law of a person who dies in a tent. Okay, so that's what says the word Ohel by Tumas Ohel. Uksiv Hasam, and it says there, where there is by the Hakamasa Mishkan, when Moshe put up the Mishkan, it says, Vayifros es ha'oel al ha'mishkan, and he spread the tent over the Mishkan. Like the Chatzar was an open area, but over the Kodesh Kedashim, there was a tent. There was a three-layered covering. So first, right, it says, Vayifros es ha'oel al ha'mishkan. So Mala Halan, so over there, what was the thing that covered the Mishkan? Mala Halan by the Mishkan, it was Shel Pishtan Kari Ohel. It was a covering of Pishtan. We say over there it was a covering of Pishkan because the Pasuk says there, as a Mishkan Tasa Eser Yiro Shesh Mazar. Shesh is linen, which is flax, which is Pishtan. So it was Pishtan that was covering the Mishkan, and that's what's called the Ohel. Afkan, so too by Tumas Ohalim, when it says the word Ohel, it shall pishtan kari Ohel. It's only something that's pishtan that is called the Ohel. It is not any other material that comes from a tree. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's take this Gzeira Shava all the way through then. Let's be consistent. E mala holon shizurin vichuton kafal shisha. Well, if you're learning it out from the Mishkan, the stitching in the Mishkan was very different. It was, I think it was like it was very spun. It was six strings per stitch or something like that. It was very, very complicated, right? Every one string was made out of six. So too Afkan. So say the same thing by Tumas Olim. In order for the Pishtan to be Metame Tumas Olin, it should be like the Mishkan, which is Sezurin V'chutan Kafel Shisha. So therefore the Gemara says, no, you can't learn that because Talmud Lomar, Ol V'riba. It says the word Ol multiple times in the Parsha of Tumas Hames. It says a multiple time parts to a mace, and therefore that comes to include other stitches besides the stitch that is the same as the Mishkan. And what Gemara says, wait a second, e ohel ohel nriba, if it says ohel ohel multiple times in the parsha of Tumas HaMeis, why are you only including a pishtan? Use that to include a filim kol milinami. Use that to include other materials, and those other materials can also be considered items that would become Tumas Ohel if they are the Ohel itself. So what it says, in other words, you have the word, you have a Gezeira Shava between Ohel and Mishkan. And we're just learning that Gezeira Shava to say the material from the Mishkan is what's Matam Ohel by Tumas Ohel. And that's flax. Gemara says, well, why don't you learn it exactly like the Mishkan and have all the other requirements of the Mishkan, which is Shazurin and Chut and Kafal Tisha? Gemara says, oh, because it says Ohel multiple times by Tumas Ohel, and therefore it includes a flax, even if it doesn't have this special type of stitching. Gemara says, and say, well, use the multiple times of Ohel to include other materials. So Gemara answers, Im Kain, Gzeir Shava Mahadile. We know that it's a Gzeir Shava, right? There's always a Masorah to have a Gzeir Shava. So we know this is a Gzeir Shava. If you take the extra words Ohel by the Parsha of Tumas Ohel and say it includes all other materials, then you've made the Gzeir Shava between Mishkan and Tumas Ohel to be worthless. There's nothing for them to learn. So therefore, you have to say that the Gzeir Shava has validity. So the Gzeir Shava has validity in that we're going to compare Tumas Ohel to the Mishkan, just like the Mishkan is only talking about flax, about pishtan, so too Tumas Ohel is when you're talking about pishtan. The extra words Ohel by Tumas Ohel are going to come to include pishtan that's not even made the way that it was made in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, okay, the Ema, maybe we should say, Malahalon, just like in the Mishkan, Krushim, Afkan, crush him with wool. It was wood. So maybe in the Mishkan, he's going to claim that in the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan are also called Ohel. They're also part of the Ohel. So therefore, wood is called Ohel. So too, by Tumas Ohel, wood should be considered the Ohel as well. Why are we only limiting to Pishtan? We should include it to wool. And Rashi says, Afkan Krushim ve'ema de'etz nami ikri Ohel. So Gemara answers, Amakra, the Pasuk says no, because the Pasuk says, Asisa Krushim la Mishkan. Mishkan kari Mishkan ve'en Krushim kruyin Mishkan. You make the Krushim, you make the walls for the Mishkan. So the Krushim are not defined as the Mishkan, they're defined as walls for the Mishkan. So the Mishkan is considered Mishkan. What's the Mishkan? The Mishkan was the Ohel. By Yifrosh es ha-Ohel, we'll see in a moment. It says, by Yifrosh es ha-Ohel, Mishkan, they're saying that the tapestries or the covering, that's called Mishkan, but the boards itself are not called Mishkan. They're adjacent to the Mishkan. They're a description of what goes on the Mishkan. In Krushim Kruin Mishkan. So Gemara says, El Miyata, if we're going to learn from the words, they'd say that Krushim the Mishkan, and we're learning that Krushim themselves are not called Mishkan, they're just, you know, an apparatus towards the Mishkan. So then it says, Vasisa Michsela Ohel, you make a covering for the Ohel, Orose Lim Adamim, Umichse Oros Tchashim Amala. That's the three coverings. So Hachinami, so too we can learn from here, where it says Michse La Ohel, a covering for the Ohel, we'll say Michse Lo Ikri Ohel. Right, the michse, the covering, the oros themselves are not going to be considered ol, right? Because they only cover the ol; they're not part of the ol. So, if we can say that that's the case, elahadabai. So then you have a sub, right? So now we're saying we said the word that krushim mishkan means that the krushim are not actually part of the mishkan. They are. Something that's used that they're helpful to the Mishkan. They aren't actually defined as the Mishkan. So too, these coverings shouldn't be defined as the Mishkan. If that's the case, Elohad Debayi Rebbe Lazar has the following suffix. His suffix was Or Behema Tmeya, right? The hides of a non kosher animal. Mahu Sheyitame Bi Ohel Hames. What the question is, if they're covering the Ohel, would these hides become Tameh and as Ohel Mace? Like we just said, that all coverings do not, the only thing that doesn't become Tameh is things that come from a tree, except for Pishtan. Now what happens if it's covered by skins, by hides? If it's a non-kosher hide that's covering the tent, right? Or Behemah Tameh, Umay Sheitamba Ohel Mace. Hashto, so now we're going to say, what would be his suffix? If Or Behemah Tahora, if hides of a behema tahora, which were used to cover the Mishkan, if or behema tamora lo mitamei are not going to become tamei because we just said that they're called michse la ol, they're not actually called the ol, they're just covering to the ol. So if or behema tahora is not mitamei tumas olim, so or behema tamei mibai, the hides of a non kosher animal, you have a question about why would you have the suffix? It's clear that they wouldn't become Tamei. Again, the reason they were saying that Or Behema Tahora wouldn't become Tamei is because those are the coverings, and they're not called Oel. They're called Michsela Oel, just like the boards are not called Mishkan. They're called Krushim LeMishkan. They're just something that's there to help the Mishkan. They're not actually defined as a Mishkan. So why does he have the suffix about Or Behema Tameya if there's no suffix by Or Behema Tahora? So the Gemara says, no, it's different. When it comes to Oros, the Shani Hasam, the Hadar Adre Kra, because the pasuk later on changes the description of it and says the ksiv v'nasu es hayirios hamishkan, he would carry, you know, the poles for the mishkan, the es ohel mohed and the ohel mohed michseyu u'michset tachash asher alav, it would call it the michseyu, right, which is the its covering u'michset hatachash, and the covering that was made out of the tachash was on top of it. So now let's go, just take a step back. The Mishkan had three coverings. The lowest covering, the most close to the Mishkan, was the one of Pishtan. The one of Pishtan, we've already said, that's clearly defined as Mishkan. Now it compares the Michseyu u'michsei hatachash asher alav. Michseyu is the Pishtan, Michsei hatachash is on top of it. And you're comparing the two. Nakish elyon l'tachton. You're comparing the upper covering, which was made out of hides, l'tachton, to the lower covering, which was made out of, out of Pishtan. Right, or which was made out of, I guess it was made out of easy, right, made out of, wait, The lowest one is Pishtan. Then you have Izim. Then you have Tachash. So the top one is compared to the lower one. Ma Tachton Kori Ohel. Just like the lower one is called Ohel, Af Elyon Kori Ohel. So to the top one is called Ohel. So yes, Yirios HaMishkan Crushim LeMishkan is not considered Mishkan. But the coverings, right, the coverings are considered Mishkan. The bottom covering of the Pishtan is clearly considered Ohel, because it says Vayifros is Ohel ala Mishkan. It's called Ohel right away. Then now you have the ones of the hides. And in the Pasuk by the hides, it says Yiros HaMishkan es Ohel Moed Mechseyu Mechseya Tachra Sher Alav. And it's comparing the hides on top to the lower one beneath it. The lower one beneath it is considered Ohel. So the one on top of it is also going to be considered Ohel. And therefore, it is going to be Kam Tameh if it has the comparison now to Ohel. See, Jeff, I told you this wasn't easy. All right. So now the Gemara is going to go back to the suffix of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar's suffix was, do the hides, if you use the hides as the tent to cover, if you use the hides of a non-kosher animal, do they themselves become Tameh Tumas Ohel? So the Gemara says, Gufa, Boy Rabbi Lazar, or Behema Tameh, Mahu Sheyitameh Tumas Olin. So the Gemara says, my kabayle, what is his shaila? We just learned this gzeirah shava. We just learned this concept two moments ago, that the upper covering, which was made out of the tachash, is going to be just like the lower covering, which was made out of izim, or made out of, and the lowest covering, which was made out of pishtan, that they are all considered ohel when it comes to the mishkan. So then you have the gzeirah shava to ohel by Tumas Ohel, and therefore they are all should all be considered something that becomes Tami Tumas Ohel. So Makami Baile. So the Gemara says, Amar of Adabar Ava, Tachash Shahayib Bimei Moshe Kami Baile. The Shaila is, this Tachash, which they made as a covering, was it a kosher animal or not? Right? Tachash Shahayib Bimei Moshe Kami Baile. Tamei Haya, O Tahar Haya, or was it a kosher animal? If it was a Tami animal, and we just said that the Tachash was considered part of the whole limud, and therefore it's included in the idea of Tumas Ohel, then you have a non-kosher hide, so it also could become Tameh Ohel. But if you say that the Tachash is a kosher animal, I have no proof for non-kosher animals. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Mati Boile, what suffix could this be? How can you have the suffix? Tanina, we learned it at Braisa, Lo Hukshru L'melecha Shemayim El Or Behema Tahor Bovad. We have, I guess, a Masorah, that the only thing that's kosher for usage in, you know, for holy usage is the skins or the hides of a kosher animal. So for sure then the tachash has to be a kosher animal. And if the tachash is a kosher animal, then you see that only kosher animals were used in the Mishkan, and only kosher animals get this din of Ohel, and not non-kosher animals. Well, it's a gzeirah shava. It's a gzeirah shava. So you can't even ask on that. Gzeirah shava is just a word. Ohel. That's just a word. That's where they started. It's ohel. But now we're trying to figure out how encompassing is that word ohel. What did the word ohel when it came to the Mishkan mean? And if ohel in the Mishkan included non-kosher hides, so then that Ohel by Thomas Ohel will also include non-kosher hides. Yep. I mean, that's the lima they're doing. They're bringing it across from the Ohel of the Mishkan to the word Ohel in Thomas Ohel. No, the hides itself. That was the beginning. That's a very important Rashi from in the Mishnah. So it says, right, Wait, Nick, I didn't hear you. Right. Right. We're talking here about you're using these hides, and I think this is what you're saying. Like you're using these hides to make the OL. Now they create an OL, so everything underneath them are clearly going to become Tameh. The question is whether the hide itself, which is the roof, does that roof itself become Tameh Tumas OL? We're not dealing with Saras here now. No, but that's what the Mishnah says, that everything does become tame. The covering does become tame. Kol ha-metam, right? Yotze min ha-eitz einam ha-tame tumas olam el ha-pishtan. Only something that comes, if it's made out of wood, it does not become tame. But if you use hides and something else has the covering, it would become tame tumas olam. So just like everything underneath would then be required to be taken and washed and go to and be nitbal and have the ashes spread, so too this just look at the teepee. The teepee itself would have to be taken apart and be dipped in the mikvah and have to be sprinkled with on the third day and the seventh day. You have to look at that. It's that Rashi in the Mishnah. It says, Eino metame tumas ohel. Let me go back. It says, Im osa mehen ohel. If you use these items themselves to make the ohel, v'hames tachtov, and the mace is underneath it, have kishar habayis. The covering itself becomes like everything else in the house. Have kishar habayis v'ein shach litpil ol atzmo, de lo kibol tuma el kenel shach tachtov. Is the question, it's if it's not metame tumas ohalim, that means the covering doesn't become tame. If it is metame tumas ohalim, that means the teepee itself has to be taken apart and dipped in the mikvah. That's what we're going on. All the items inside, for sure, are tame tumas ohalim. Right, Nick? Okay, Nick's agreeing. Okay, good. Exactly. Correct. Right. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's the question. But the question, now they're asking, why are you having the question? Because you're assuming that maybe the tachash was not kosher. How can the tachash be non-kosher? Because it was used in the Mishkan. Well, that's what... No, the three layers in the Mishkan were just using to try to define what constitutes ohel. Yeah, so I don't know the rules. If you have three layers over a mace, if the bottom layer is tame, then it would probably allow the top layers to become tame also. I don't know, but I don't think that's the discussion right now. But I don't know. I would that's a nice ohel's question. Okay. So the Gemara said, right, so we have the suffix of Rav Elazar about Or Behema Temeya as to whether that's Tamei Tumas Olim. So the Gemara says, well, what's your Shaila? Well, your Shaila was whether the Tachash, which was one of the coverings, which we defined as Oel, whether the Tachash was kosher or not. The Gemara says, how could it have been not kosher? I'm Rav Yosef, Mati Boile, Tanina, Lo Huxu, Lomalacha Shemayim, Elo Or Behema Torah Balad. You're only allowed to use kosher animals. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Mesiv Rabbi Abba. Let me ask you the following question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shnei Michsos Hayu. Right, you had two coverings over the Mishkan. We said three is machlokas. He has two coverings. Acha shel oras elim adamim. One was from like red rams. The acha shel oras tichashim, and one of oros tichashim of this tachash. Okay, two. Rav Nechemia says michsa echad haya. It was one. Half was made from the elim adamim, and half was made to the tichashim. V'dome kimin. Tila Elon, and it was similar to this animal called the Tila Elon. Rashi says the Tila Elon is like some sort of spotted animal, right? He says Chaya Timehi Uminumeres Bigavanim, and it was this non kosher animal that had a lot of spots, maybe like a leopard or something like that. So this non kosher animal, but Tila Elon Tamehu, and the Tila Elon, this thing is Tameh, and yet you made the according to Rav Nechemia, you're making the covering. It's a pretty simple answer. You made the covering look like a non-kosher animal. So Gemara says, "Hachikamar kimin tala ilan hu sheyishbo gvinim harbe lo tla ilan di ilo hasam tamid v'hachatar." It wasn't actually the hides of this non-kosher animal. When you mix the two hides of the elim adamim and the oros tichashim, they looked like the hide of this non-kosher animal, but they didn't actually use the hide of the non-kosher animal. Therefore, you could the assumption is that this tachash was still a kosher animal. So if the tachash was a kosher animal, how can you be saying that that you have a shaila about whether or not non-kosher hides become tamei tumas olim? You have no source, because the source is from the Mishkan, and from the Mishkan they only use kosher animals. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Ihachi, he says, yeah, he's agreeing. The Haino de Targibin on Sazgona, Sheshash Begavnin Harbe. Rav Yosef, who was blind and didn't learn Torah Shebichtav, only learned Torah Shebal Peh. So he was an expert in Targum. And he says the Targum of Tachash is Sazgona, which apparently means, stitched from many colors. So that's what it means. It was stitched from many colors, and therefore, but it wasn't actually a non-kosher hide. Okay. So Rav Yosef just made it clear that the tachash was a kosher animal, and according to that, the hides of a non-kosher animal would not become tamei tumas olam if they were the teepee, if they were the covering, because there's no source for it, because it's not called Oel by the Mishkan. So therefore, it doesn't get the gzeira shava of ol by tumas olim. Rava Amar or behema tumeya demetame bi ol hamis mehacha. He says, wait a second. Rava argues, and he says the hides of a non-kosher animal do become tame ol hamis if they are the covering. Mehacha. Where do you learn it? Ditanya, because he says you learn it out from the following. And here we're going back, Jeff. Now we're going back to the parsha of tsaras by clothing. It talks about different types of clothing that can become tameh b'tzaras. The pasuk there, someplace it says o v'or. So whenever there's an o, we're going to grab onto that o and say that it's extra, right? It says or. It says o v'or. The o and the v's. So it could have said or without the base. O v'or. The o and the base riba. It includes. What does it come to include? It comes to include or behema tameya shelaka biyat kohen. Or behemoth tameya. It comes to include the hides of a non-kosher animal that they are subject to tsaras, and the shelaka biyad kohen. And it also includes a situation where you gave the kohen your clothing, and when you gave the kohen the clothing, it wasn't menuga. It didn't have the tsaras on it, but in the hands of the kohen, it became menuga, and the nega was nola in the hands of the kohen. There, even though beforehand it wasn't, it's still going to be considered tsaras. Now the Brisa continues, katsatz mikulan. I guess if you take a item of clothing from all different types of materials, va'asa achas mehen, and you make one beged, and how do you know that everything combined can also become tamei tzaras? I mean, Talmud lomar o b'chol melechas or. It says o b'chol melechas or. That includes even if you have this whole this mixed type of fabric. But you see from here. You're going to learn from here that just like the lima is supposed to be, just like or behema tmeya can become tamei bitzaras, so too it should become tamei bitum as an oel, the tumas oel. That's what it says, comparison between saras and tumas oel, according to Rava. So the Gemara asks, v'ikla mefrach, it's not a fair comparison. There's a difference. Negayim has a chumra. Malin negayim sheshesi ve'erev tamei behen. The Negayim has a chumrah that even just the warp and the woof, whatever it is, a small amount can become tameh as tumas negayim. So it has a chumrah. By tumas mace, you need a much larger size. So therefore, don't say that just like by negayim it applies by tumas ol. It's a big difference because negayim has a chumrah. They're apples and oranges, to quote the good doctor. So therefore, you don't have a comparison. So the Gemara says, Ela gamar mishratzim. Learn the fact that a non-kosher hide can become tamei tumas olim from shratzim, from the creepy crawly things, the Tanya, because the pasuk says by shratzim, the whole pasuk says as v'chol asher yipol alav mehem b'mosam yitma mikol kliya eitz o beged o or o sak. So it says or, right? And the pasuk just said mikol kli eitz v'beged v'or. So what does it say? Or einli ela behema tohora, or behema tamei minayin tamar loma o or. From the word extra O, they're going to learn out that not only does the hides of a kosher animal become tamei if touched by a sheretz, so too the hides of a non-kosher animal become tamei if touched by a sheretz. And just like the hides of a non-kosher animal become tamei by tumas sheretz, the hides of a non-kosher animal should also become tamei as tumas oel if it's as the tent. I don't know. You happen to be focusing on the. It's a question to ask, but I don't know. That's not like germane to what we're getting to. But I don't know. I don't know why you would need that if you cut such mikulon, and why would that be an issue. Cut such mikulon. Rashi says mikulon impossible for hibur yachad. Shratzim. No, that's something else. Rashi doesn't say that. I don't know. He has a long note over here, so maybe he talks about it. But I don't know the answer offhand. Why we would have thought that? Why somebody would have thought that? Masifti has a note. Hutzrucha Torah l'rabos from Mitzmeya. He focuses on the other two. Doesn't even focus on yours. I don't know. I don't have an answer. Sorry. All right. So now the Gemara is saying that we're making a comparison just by the fact now that the or of a behema tumeo come tame as a sheretz, if touched by a sheretz, so to the or behema tumeo will be tame as an ol. The Gemara says, well, ikal mefrach. Again, we can say it's not a fair comparison. Mala shratzim, she came a tame b'shur kadasha. The shratzim are chomer mimeis in the fact that a sheretz can convey tumah from a small amount to the size of a lentil. But the tumah of a mace has to be the shear of a kazayas. So it's not a comparison. You can say, oh, the reason why the shratzim can contract tumah, give tumah to an or behemoth tumeah is because it's so chomer, because it can even give tumah at such a small shear. But maybe by tumas oel, since you need a larger shear, it would not become tumah. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's use both, right? Let's use both the tzaras and shratzim and use them and say negoim yochichu v'chazer adin, right? Binyanav lo rizek rizeh, lo rizek rizeh. What's the shalat sava? What is the comparison? What's the side that's the same between shratzim and negoim? So shava shebehen sheor tamei behen, right? That skins are tamei, hides become tamei tzaras, hides become tamei by shratzim. The usa or behema tmeik or behema torah, and in both cases by shratzim and negayim, we say that there's no difference between kosher hides and non-kosher hides. So afani avi ohel meish or tamei bo. So I'll bring in also the concept of ohel meish where we know hides are tamei. V'nasiva or behema tmeik or behema torah, and we'll just say that the non-kosher hides are going to be just like the kosher hides and become tamei. So we're going to learn out it's called from a mematzino from to amrle rava mi barnish. The Rav Ashi says no ikla mefrach. You can't. And I don't know why the Gemara even had to have mina, but it says you can say that there's no comparison because malasad shavashabem. What would be the comparison between negayim and shratzim? Shekain timei pachas bekazayis, because the shear that they can give over tuma is at a level less than a kazayis. Tomer b'meisha ainu matam el kazayis. How can you compare that to a case of tumas ameis where you need a kazayis? So therefore, those two are much more chamor, and therefore, because they're so chamor and they can give over tumah such a small shear, that's why they can also convey tumah to a non-kosher hides. But by tumas oel, we need a larger shear, so large, like a kazayas, which in Yonah Diyoma, how big is a kazayas when it comes to your matzah? But it's probably the size of an olive. But since they have a larger size, they don't have this chamor of being transferring over tumah to non-kosher hides. So Ella Amar Rava Mi Barnish. So Rava Barnish is going to give a different source. He says Asya Bekavachomar Mi Notza Shel Izim. He says you can learn that the non-kosher hides can become tame etumas hames if they are the covering. You can learn that from a kavachomer from the notza of the izim, which I guess is the wool of the tsemer izim, the wool of the izim, right? She'ein mitame bin negoyim. Because this item of clothing apparently is not mitam ben negayim, it's not mitam ben negayim, but mitam ba ol hames, and nevertheless it can create ol hames. So or behema tmeya, which is mitam ben negayim, which you prove does become tam ben negayim, ain't odin should tmeya ba ol hames. So too kal v'chomer, if you have an item that can contract tumas negayim if you have an item that cannot contract tumas negayim, I don't know what the source is, but if you add an item that cannot contract tumas negayim, yet nevertheless it can contract tumas ol hames, so or behema tmeya, which can contract tumas negayim, kol shekein that it can contract ol hames. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, now we say that tumas, that non-kosher hides can become tamei tumas ol meis, right? That's what we said. But now we just and we also said that tachash in the Mishkan was a tahor animal. But now we just said. We just said now that the or behema tmeya can also become tamei as an ohel. But if the or behema tmeya can become tamei as an ohel, that might lead us to the conclusion that the tachash could have also been tamei, because behema tmeya is also now included in this whole idea of ohel. So what then was when Rav Yosef said lo huksheru b'melecha shemayim el or behema tohor b'lvad l'may hilchasa? What's that going to be teaching us? We originally said that or behema tmeya you can't use or behema tohora as a proof to say that the tachash was a kosher animal. But now that we're saying that non-kosher animals, their hides are also considered ohel, you have the possibility that the tachash was a non-kosher animal, because it could be used as an ohel. A little bit of a stretch. But that seems to be where the Gemara is going. But we had this dictum of Rav Yosef that said that the only thing that's kosher from Alecha Shemayim is the hides of a kosher animal. Well, Lamai Hilchasa, what is that teaching us? Because it's not right. It can't be teaching us that the Tachash was a Tahor, because A, we can say it was Tameh, or B, you can say, who cares? What happened, happened. So what's this idea of Melech HaShemayim, Elo Hukshu Melech HaShemayim, El Or B'Himet Torah B'Vad? So Gemara says, oh, it's teaching us about tefillin, that the tefillin had to be made from a kosher animal. The Gemara says, wait a second, that can't be teaching us that. Tefillin B'Hejik Sivuhu, tefillin, the fact that the tefillin had to be made, and the multiple parts of the tefillin, so let's go through all the parts. But the fact that the tefillin had to be, the batim, the fact that the batim and the tefillin had to be made from a kosher hide, that can't, that we already know that from a pasuk, because the pasuk says, Leman tiyat tosh shem ficha. It says, right, v'haylach al-osla yodecha, u'lizikaron b'inenecha, Leman tiyat tosh shem b'ficha. And they said, Torah Hashem is min hamutter b'ficha. Torah Hashem b'ficha, only thing that's mutter in the Torah can be in your mouth, can be, that only something that could be put in your mouth can be used as tefillin, which would be a kosher hide. Now, when it says kosher hide, again, the idea is it has to come from a kosher animal. Nevelos and trefos of kosher animals are also usable when it comes to tefillin. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's not talking about, it's, so that's talking about, so that would be talking about, sorry, that would be talking about the klaf. That's talking about the klaf, that the klaf itself would have to be from a kosher animal. So Gemara says, okay, but it's not talking about the klaf, because that's already in the pasuk, elo la'oron. It's talking about the, I guess this is the batim, that the batim should have to be, would have to be from a kosher animal. So the Gemara then says, no, the ha'amar, that can't be, the ha'amar abaye, shin shel tefillin, halacha Moshe Misinai. The shin, I guess, that you put on the bias, the shin that goes on the bias, on the shel rosh, that's a halacha Moshe Misinai. Most things are halacha Moshe Misinai, pretty much, yeah. Most things are halacha Moshe Misinai. But even if it's halacha Moshe Misinai, so what does that mean? So that means if it's halacha Moshe Misinai that it has to be done a certain way, then we're not learning it out from lo hukshu v'lecha shemayim el or b'him b'torah b'vad, because we already know it as halacha Moshe Misinai. So then the Gemara says, okay, I'm not sure why. Oh, Rashi says because you have a shin on the bias, and then you have a dalet in the back, and the yud on your hands. So that's ksiva. So that's considered the same thing as writing. And so Rashi says, shin shel tefillin sheheyah or nikmat mi b'chutz. You know, it's a little raised from the outside. Gimel kmatim v'domel shin, like looks like a shin. Vatsura niksheres kamin dalet, and the back of your head has a knot like a dalet. V'shatzu ksufa kamin yud, and they have the ritsua that looks like a yud. That's shakai. V'kevin the os hashem nichta b'kmatim shalom muter moser b'ficha b'ina mikron nafik. The fact that you have these writings, these are the same things now as going to be the writings on the cloth. It's part of the writing of the tefillin. And we just said that the writing of the tefillin has to be from something that is kosher. So you can't be learning it out from this dictum of Rav Yosef. So what are we learning from the dictum of Rav Yosef? Ela likorchon b'sa'aron u'l'tofron b'gidin. It's the stitching. It's the stitching between each parsha and the stitching on the bias. Those have to be done with, the stitches have to come from a kosher animal. The Gemara says, Hanami halacha Moshe Misinai. The fact that those have to become from a kosher animal is also halacha Moshe Misinai. The Tanya, because I have a brisa that says, Tfilin Murubos, the fact that they have to be, I guess, squared, that's halacha Moshe Misinai. And Nichrochos Bisaron, Vinis Paros Begidon, the fact that they have to be used with the hair and the sinews of kosher animals is also halacha Moshe Misinai. So we're back to the question of what does this dictum of Yosef teach us? So Ela Leritsuos. It's teaching you about the strings, the ritsuos that had come down, that they have to be from a kosher animal. The Gemara says again, Ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ritsuos shechoros halacha Moshe Misinai. The ritsuos have to be black. That's halacha Moshe Misinai. The Gemara says, great. Nehi the gemiri shechoros tohoros migemiri. Yeah, the fact that they have to be black is halacha Moshe Misinai. The fact that the ritsuos have to be from a kosher animal, that's not halacha Moshe Misinai. That's learned out from this idea of lo hukshu b'melecha shemayim el or behema tohor b'vad. That's the lima that we're going to use. So the Gemara says, my hava ala de tachash. Lemaskana, what's the story, the shahai b'mei Moshe? What's the story with this tachash that was in the times of Moshe? Was it tahor or tameh? Was it a kosher animal or not a kosher animal? I mean, it's like, I don't know why you have to ask the question. Who cares? It doesn't have any nachmi. But the Gemara says, Amar of Ilah, Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, Omer Hayer of Meir would say, Tachash Shehai B'nei Moshe, the Tachash that was in the times of Moshe, Barrier B'nei Atzmahaya, it was its own separate creation. V'lo Hichriu B'chachamim Mim Chayahu, they never made a determination whether it was a Chaya in Behemahu, whether it was a wild animal or a domesticated animal. V'keren Achas Haisalol B'michtzko, it was like one horn on its head. Well, the Fisha and his Damal Moshe was only around for that time when Moshe needed it for the Mishkan, not before. The Asri Meno Mishkan, he made the Mishkan, and then it says the Nignas. I don't even make Nignas to go extinct, it was hidden. It existed only for that moment in time. So the Gemara then says, okay, it said that it had one horn on it. So Midika Amar Karen Achas Haisolo, the Mitzkal, the fact that it said it had one horn, well, we're going to compare it now to something else that had one horn. Shma mina tor hayo. You must prove that it is a tor animal. Damar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, shor shehikriv adam harishon. The shor, the ox that adam harishon used to be makriv a korma to Hashem, keren achas haisol b'mitzkal. It also only had one horn. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'tetev l'Hashem mishor par makrin mafris. From the word makrin, they're saying that it had one horn, and he'd use it as a korban. But if we use it as a korban, the one horn animal is used as a korban, must be that it was kosher animal. I don't know why. Maybe the one horn animal that Adam used was kosher, and the one horn animal the Tachash was not. But the Gemara asks differently. The Gemara says makrin. The pasuk says makrin is tarti mashma. Makrin is plural. It sounds like it's two. So no. So Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak makran ksiv. It says makran, which means keren. It had one. There was only one, and therefore it only had one horn. And if it had one horn, you see that a one-horned animal is a behemoth tohora. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're going to say that it's you're learning it out from the shore of Adam Arishon, the lifshot minay de min behemahu will then prove from there also that it's a behemoth, it's a domesticated animal. Why? Because it's going on a mizbeach. Only behemoths are kosher with mizbeach. Chayos are not kosher to go on the mizbeach. So lifshot minay de min behemahu. So the Gemara says, no, kevin de ikka de min chaya. Kevin de ikka keresh de min chayahu the lesli elechada keren ikla mir min chayu. No. And this is, throws the whole thing off for me. He says, there's another animal that's called Keresh, which is a Chaya, and it also has only one horn. So you can also say that maybe the Tachash was a Chaya and also only had one horn. So then the whole proof from Adam makes no sense because there's another animal that was... Now we have three one-horned animals. We have the Shor of Adam Arishon, we have this Keresh, which is a Chaya, and we have the Tachash. So who says the Tachash is compared to either of them? That's why I don't understand what the comparisons are. We're saying that the Tachash is comparable enough to be considered a kosher animal, but it's not comparable enough to be considered a behemoth. Well, if it's not comparable enough to be considered a behemoth, then it should be comparable enough to be a kosher animal. We shouldn't have an answer for anything. I don't know. Well, maybe that's the answer to the Gemara. Anyway, everyone looks so thrilled with the Gemara. Getting back now to I wanted to actually look up. I should look up a Rabbi Sif. You know, by Slifkin probably has something. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Keresh is the rhinoceros, but yeah, but we're trying. Yeah, what's the Tachash? Well, the shore. Right, but we don't know which one it is, so we're still left. But what you're saying then, we're stuck with, we still don't have an answer to the question. We didn't answer the question, because since it can compare to either, we don't know which one it is. Whether it's, right. Okay, back to Wix. Okay, Gemara then says, Psilas habeged shekipla. So you tore off cloth from a article of clothing, and I guess you folded it up. You want to use that as your wick, but the low hivhava, but you didn't singe it. I guess initially, you did not singe it, right? Rashi says hivhava ala shel heves gedei shetiyeh muchrechas v'talik yafe, that it should be ready, you know, easily to light. You know, a lot of people have the minhag to light the candles before the wife and then blow them out so they can the wick lights easier. So, Ptilas Habegat Shekipla, Velo with Hava, Rabbi Lezer Omer Temehi. Rabbi Lezer says that this item of clothing, where you ripped off a piece of clothing and you used it, so Rabbi Lezer says it still maintains its status of clothing if it's a certain size. It's still considered an article of clothing, and therefore it can become Tameh, it's Makabal Tumah. The Eimad Likimbon, you cannot light with it on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Omer Tahorahi, it's no longer Makabal Tumah, it loses its status of a Beged, and is no longer Makabal Tumah. Umad likimba, and you can use it to light on Shabbos. So the Gemara is now, so there's a twofold machlokas here. There's a machlokas, A, whether or not this ripped cloth is still considered a beged, So it would be, could be makabel tuma, or is it not no longer considered a baguette, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. And the second machlok is whether or not you can actually light it on, use it to, as a, for a wick on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I think we'll get to that. I think I'll get is makabel tuma. No, the question I think we'll get to it. We're going to get to it if it wasn't hasn't been singed yet. Okay, if it had been singed. So bishlama lituma. So I understand when it comes to tuma. This is the machlokas. Bahapligi. The Rabbi Lezer Savar, Rabbi Lezer says, kipul ein amoel. The fact that you folded it up and twisted it and you made it into a wick, that's not sufficient action enough to take away its status of a clothing. Like just when it comes to tuma, when it comes to kalim or articles of clothing, let's say you have a kli that's tame. If you break it, it's no longer tame. If you have an article of clothing, it's susceptible to tuma. Now that you made it into something else, it's no longer an article of clothing, it won't be susceptible to tuma. So Rabbi Lezer says, just because you folded it and twisted it doesn't remove the status of it being an article of clothing. Ubin milsa kamaisa kaima, and it's still standing in its original status, and therefore it is considered to be still a beged, and therefore it will be susceptible to tuma. Rabbi Kiva holds kippel moil. The kippel, the folding and the twisting, is enough to remove its status as being an article of clothing. Ubatil batil, and it's no longer a bedded, and therefore it's not a kabbal tuma. El inyan hadlaka b'may pligi. What is their machlokas when it comes to the light in the candle or not? So the Gemara is going to give a few answers. Let's try to at least do the first one. The first one's going to give us an answer. We're going to have to make a bunch of assumptions, which the Gemara is going to lay out. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, the chen under Rav Adav or Ava. Hacha, what's our Mishnah dealing with? Number one, b'shalosh al shalosh mutsam tzamos askina. We're dealing with a beged, with the tear, with the cloth, that's exactly 3x3. Because anything less is not a beged at all. So it's exactly 3x3. And we're dealing with a case of biyantov shchalios erev Shabbos askinan. We're dealing with yantov like this year. We're dealing where Friday is erev Shabbos is yantif, right? So yantif, so now we have an issue of muksa because usually on Friday we don't have muksa, but if it's yantif erev Shabbos, you have muksa on yantif. Okay, so we're dealing with a 3x3. We're dealing with a concept of muksa, and we're saying to kulei alma islahu de Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone is going to hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Masikin Bekalin, the E Masikin Meshire Kalim. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are allowed on Yontif to carry for usage Kalim in order to use them, I guess, to burn things. Like on Yontif, you're allowed to light fire, so you're allowed to use Kalim, the E Masikin Meshire Kalim. But if you had a Kli that then broke on Yontif, you can't use, let's say you had, some wood cup, and the wood cup broke, you can't use the wood chips that broke for your fuel because they're muksa, because they were nolad. They weren't here before Yontif. Okay, that's assumption number three. Uvit kule alma, and everybody holds islahu de ula. Everyone holds like ula. The amra ula. Ula holds hamadlik. If you're lighting a ner for Shabbos, sarik she yadlik birov hayotze. You have to have it. You can't pull your hand away until most of the wick is lit. Most of the wick has to be lit. So therefore, as follows. So we have all these assumptions. So therefore, their machlok is as follows. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Rabbi Lezer holds, kipol, when you twist it or you folded this thing on Yontif, eno, right, you folded it on Erev Yontif, right? Eno moil, it doesn't take away its concept of being a beged. The cave on the adlik bay porta, and once you lit a little bit of it, havele shever kli, it now becomes a broken kli. And it becomes a broken kli, the ki kamadlik, and when you're lighting it, b'shever kli kamadlik, you're lighting it with something that's nolad, you're using muksa, right? Once you start lighting it, it becomes a broken kli, and you're using muksa now, because you're creating something new. Because what he said, when you folded it on Erev Yontif, it maintained its status of the beged. Then on Yontif, when you start to singe it, you've now diminished it below 3x3, so it's now considered a broken kli. And now you're using a broken kli, which is muksa, and you can't use that to light your kli, light your candle. But Rabbi Kiva holds, no, kipul moel, the folding and twisting that you did on Erev Yontif, that took away its status of being of a kli to begin with. Uve ein Torah's kli olav, and there's no Torah of a kli on it at all. The chimadlik, and therefore when you're lighting it on Erev Shabbos, which is Yontif, you're not using shivrei kelim, but etzba alma kamadlik, you're using a regular wick. You're just using etzba alma. It's not muksa. The problem here is going to be a muksa because Rabbi Elazar is holding that it's a regular kli, and when you start singeing it, Right? Like Ula says, it has to be singed. When you start singeing it, it's now considered a broken kli. And a broken kli is nola, that it's muksa. Rabbi Akiva says, no, when you folded it on Erev Yontif, that's when you took away the status of it being a kli. So when you're using it now on Erev Shabbos, which is Yontif, it's not there's no nolad here when you singe it, because it already hasn't been a kli since beforehand. It just ate ba'alma. Okay? So let's just read the last line, and then we'll pick up. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Hainu Tanina, now that we said this explained the machlokas this way, this helps me explain. I had this halacha. Someone taught me shalosh hashalosh mitzum tzamos. I had this halacha that someone says 3x3 exactly. I didn't know what they were talking about. Now I know that when they mentioned that line was talking about this halacha about how to explain this machlokas between in our Mishnah between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, stop here. Pretty hard Gemara. I don't think it gets that much easier tomorrow, but maybe a little bit. But I think we're now we're so much out of the Tumah Taharah. Menachem, you said you wanted to do it today at 3:00?